The problem is that freelancers don't see themselves as entrepreneurs.
Ouch.
They don't.
You just hit the nail on the head.
It really is. Freelancers see themselves as, you're going to give me this much money and I'm going to do this work for you. And that's stagnant. That is like freelancer 101. That's where you start, but that's not where you're supposed to stay, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. As you grow, as you get bigger, we talked a lot about this in our last episode. You want to be able to scale. Welcome back to another episode of the iFilmmaker Podcast. My name is Ariel Martinez. With us is Big Mike.
Yeah, Mike Hernandez.
Mike Hernandez. So, how have you been, man?
I'm doing good, man.
Since the last episode a couple minutes ago.
That was great. I changed my shirt, my pants, my underwear, my socks, my shoes. I'm brand new. I'm ready.
Nice.
Had three sips of your extremely hot coffee and I gave up.
Yeah, burn your tongue.
Yeah, maybe by the time we're done, it'll be good.
Can you talk normal? All right, quick question for you. Yeah. When was the last time you've updated your equipment?
My laptop.
You bought a new laptop.
With that, yeah. I mean, yeah. It's probably my biggest moneymaker in a sense right now.
Okay, because you do a lot of editing.
I do a lot of editing, yeah. I do a ton of shooting, but
That's your main editing machine?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I got the 16-inch. I mean, I don't have the M1 chip because it's all new stuff.
Yeah.
Which can probably go into our topic today. But yeah, I maxed it out fully.
Got it.
I had a client that was, the work was coming in where it just fully paid itself off. So I didn't have to pay anything out of pocket for it.
Gotcha.
Maxed it out.
Now, what about production gear?
I got the A7S III. So that was the newest thing.
When was that?
Right after it came out.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Actually, I was a month after, like, you know, the whole period of
so you didn't pre-order it like me.
No, you were right on it. No.
I was like, day it announced, day I bought it.
Yeah, no, I wish. Yeah, that's awesome. But I had it just in time for everything I needed. And I did get jobs specifically because I owned that camera. So that was nice. And then, I got some lenses for it and stuff like that.
Right.
But yeah, just a lot of the basic packages. I got a tentacle sync.
Yeah. Nice.
That's brand. Yeah. I think that's the newest thing, actually. Tentacle sync.
A lot of things coming out. A lot of things. 2020, you know, despite all the whole pandemic thing, there were a lot of releases, man.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of new gear, a lot of new cameras, a lot of everything. Have you come across people that are sort of, they're pretty old school, right? Mm-hmm. When I say old school, I mean like 5, 6, 7 years ago, old school in the sense that.
Like stuck?
The stuff that they're using, right? So. That happens to me all the time where I come across people like that all the time where they're using a lot of old gear. Now, there's nothing wrong with it, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, I've worked with people that, and, you know, maybe people listening to this very episode, they don't want to upgrade anything because it's working for them.
Mm-hmm. If it ain't.
Have you heard that? Yeah, there you go. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? That's the sort of the mentality.
Yeah.
Behind, you know, maintaining your equipment and keeping it there. Do you agree with that? What's your position on that?
Mm-mm.
When it comes to production and all that
stuff. Yeah, when it comes to production, I think you need to evaluate everything that's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you become stagnant in anything in life, eventually you're going to get left behind. Yeah. And I don't want to get left behind.
Now, that saying goes, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But nobody's saying it's broken.
That's the thing. It's not broken.
So you're not fixing anything.
Yeah.
You're improving.
So that may not fully apply to this.
Right, exactly.
But
people do use that as a reason why they don't get or improve their stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I've had a couple people tell me that exact phrase, if it ain't broke, don't fix it type of deal. I'm not going to name any names, but I've had some people that say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Here's a perfect example, not even production related. I have a friend of mine that uses the desktop version of QuickBooks, which is great.
Mm-hmm,
and that's how QuickBooks first started.
Mm-hmm,
But then as I was sort of showing him, I used the online version of it. It's not you, by the way.
No, and I actually have someone who uses the desktop right now.
Yeah, yeah.
And they swear by it. And I was like, use the online version.
This is why.
It's available everywhere.
my friend is keeping receipts. He is stacking up all the receipts and plugging them in and all that stuff, which is great. You're right. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. However, you're not fixing, you're improving. I throw away all my receipts because I take a picture of it and QuickBooks logs it into my books. Mm-hmm. I could send invoices and estimates, all that through my phone, and it's all logged in the records. Like everything you can do and then some is available. So it's an improvement. It's an efficiency improvement. You don't have to wait to send that estimate to your client. You don't have to wait for you to go to the office. Onto your desk to send that estimate when you can just do it real quick from your phone. Mm. Your client's not waiting. So it's improving your workflow.
Most of the time, every upgrade or any, you know, change, every all companies are looking to become better.
I mean, sure.
To provide sure. their clients a value. Mm-hmm. And most of the time when we get upgrades, either on a laptops or gear, stuff like that, there's sometimes a little bit of a learning curve time period.
Yeah.
But if like it pays out at the end where you can do things more efficient, quicker, all that good stuff, it's worth it.
Yeah. So I think it's I think personally, by the way, anything we say here today is our own personal opinion.
Yeah.
But I think it's a mistake to be stagnant in your ways and never improve and never try to upgrade. Now, some people might be saying, yeah, I'll always want to improve. What I mean is improve. What I mean is, are you willing to sell off all your gear to get better stuff? Mm-hmm. What I mean is, are you willing to sort of want to be more efficient in your workflow where you can provide the same service or better, right, with less work mm-hmm. that you have to do yourself? You know, so those are things as a business person, because as a freelancer, you are a business person. You have to think about that stuff. If you can provide the same service with less effort, mm-hmm. I don't call that lazy. I call that smart.
Yeah.
Right?
Time management. Mm-hmm.
You can provide the same service better and still get paid the same, if not more. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That is what I'm talking about today.
Yeah.
So I have some friends of mine that they're still rolling. They're still rocking with certain cameras that are still good. You can still get great quality with it, right? And I don't want to dog on anybody today, but I want to point this out so that people can realize, like, no matter how busy we get, like, try to always keep an eye out for ways to improve your work. Mm-hmm. So I have a buddy of mine that is incredibly busy, and I'm so happy for them. They have way more work than I do. I don't know how they can handle that, but they're so freaking busy that they have no idea what the latest Sony camera is, what the latest lens is for their system, like software that they could be using, things like that, which is great. That's amazing to be. I think that's what we're all trying to achieve. But the problem is, you know, if you're not up to date with the latest gear that's out there, the latest software that you could potentially be utilizing, you might be giving away more man hours than you need to. Mm-hmm. You might be giving away like what could you know, what normally takes you 2 hours to do could possibly take you 20 minutes now. Mm-hmm. Perfect example. Tentacle Sync is a great product. Phenomenal product.
Are they sponsoring this?
No, they're not sponsoring this.
Hey, Tentacle Sync. Hey.
Tentacle Sync.
Tentacle Sync. Hey.
I do use all their products because it's an amazing, amazing product. Now, they've been in the industry for a little while now, but they haven't been as noticeable as the last year or two. Right.
Yes.
So a couple Everyone's friends of mine, I've been using Tentacle Sync now for like 2.5 years, 3 years. Mm-hmm. And a couple of friends of mine, they recently discovered it. When I say recent, I mean like 4 months ago, four or five months ago. And they posted about it like a lot. You know, they loved it.
Lifesaver.
But I've been telling about Tentacle Sync to them for a little while now. But, you know, they didn't realize how easy it made audio recording so efficient and syncing in post. If you don't do it correctly, syncing audio with video in post could be incredibly daunting. It'd
be a nightmare.
It would suck, but they make it so efficient. So now you don't have to compromise. A lot of people don't like to record audio in camera. I personally don't have a problem with that because they want to use the external recorder. And that's another thing. Like, why, like, if you don't know the good preamps that these new cameras are coming out with, you might not know that they're probably just as good as not better than your external recorder, right?
Yeah.
So it's just things like that where you're working harder, not smarter. And again, it's not about being lazy. It's about working smarter.
When I first got started, for post editing, I was a full-time employee, and there was this other editor who knew a lot more than I did. He ended up becoming my mentor and taught me everything. It was great. But I didn't know how to do a certain technique. And I figured, well, I'll just work harder and I'll just spend a little time and that'll justify it. Mm-hmm. Then one day I saw how he did something. He purchased his software and it was little money. So that means it required me to have to invest. He did it in seconds and it was taking me like an hour. And that's the point where I realized, okay, I got to stop with this mindset.
Yeah.
of just being stuck in my ways because it's what I know and I don't want to learn something new. Well, once I just took the time to learn whatever it was that at that time, boom, saved me so much. And but it's a mentality too. And a lot of times it's not just in business. It shows up in every area.
It is a mentality. And as I'm, you know, still kind of teaching Chris here as well, my editor, I always...
Who's awesome, by the way.
Who's awesome, by the way. He edits our podcast. I always try to teach people the shortcuts for everything, right? And that's always my main route. Put it this way. I don't even know how to find it like the long way because I've always gotten accustomed to always shortcut everything, everything, everything. Anyone that's an editor knows this. Shortcut, shortcut, shortcut.
And if it doesn't exist, create it.
Yeah. And it got to the point where like if I was to like, if I'm looking at Chris editing and I see him take the long route, I'm like...
It irks you, right?
Why do you do it that way?
It irks me when I see that. I'm like, oh!
Did you know that a shortcut exists for that thing that you wanted to do?
I deal a lot with that with a volunteer-based program that I work with some people, and they're all volunteers. Yeah. And so, but I'm watching it, and it kills me to use a certain software. This is not like a software we use.
Yeah, it's
a different kind of production software.
Yeah.
And it kills me. I'm like, please just hit Apple this or command that or whatever it is, you know? And it's like, it just irks me every time I see that. And I'm like, just give me a second. Have a little patience with me. Watch. It'll pay off at the end. And it does, you know? But oh my goodness.
They get to the same final outcome, but they go the long route.
Yeah.
Right?
But it takes time.
And we're not talking cutting corners here. We're not talking degrading any quality here.
Efficient.
It's efficient. That's all it is. You're getting the same exact result. There are no cutting corners here. People like to, you know, they say it's lazy. So a perfect example, the entirety of everything that I buy is for efficiency. Chris has that engraved in his head. Efficiency is what I go for always. Mm-hmm. I had a friend one time ask me, because now I utilize Siri like crazy on my iPhone. I tell Siri to set my alarm. I tell Siri to create events, set reminders, and even dial phone numbers. Where previously... We look at a phone number and we're looking up and down as we dial it, right? We're looking up and down to dial number by number so that you can dial the correct number. Yeah. But instead now I just say, I can't say it now. She'll hear me. Hey Siri, dial 1-800-657-8248, right? I could just look at the number and say it and she'll dial it. I utilize that. I
had some people would be like, you lazy bum.
Hey, yes, I was going to say that. I had a friend of mine that said, you are so lazy.
Yeah.
I said, hey, listen, why don't you look at an encyclopedia instead of going to Google to search things up? Don't call me lazy. Call it efficient, all right?
Good point.
So... So that was like, it's the same thing. You're getting to the same outcome.
Much faster.
I'm just utilizing the tools that I have before me. Listen, I paid for that service. Mm-hmm. All right. When I bought my iPhone, I paid for that. Mm-hmm. So I paid for that service, right? And I want things done in an efficient manner. So I'm constantly on the lookout for things that make my workflow easier, right? Because again, as we've said in the past two episodes, profit maximization, right? If I can get the same amount of output with less work, that means that I can offer more and make more money, more profit, right? So
bottom line.
That's the bottom line. When you want to make more money, you know, you have to work, you have to try and see how to get things done better. So how does that come into the production aspect of it? So for me, I used to do everything manual focus, everything. There's nothing wrong with that. Going manual, it gets the job done. Until I came to the A7S3, the FX3, the FX9, right? All these cameras that have like unprecedented, like spectacular autofocus. It does not lose you. And if you know how to utilize their different features and the zones and the spot focus and all that stuff correctly, you could really make good use out of it, right? The reason why that's important to me is because I realize for the way that I shoot and the way that I get B-roll, what this means is that what would normally take me 3-4 attempts at getting a nice rack focus or a nice, you know, panning or sliding shot, trying to maintain focus manually, I do it in one and it comes out perfect. What that means is that I can get more shots with the same amount of time and have more variety.
That's the thing, variety. That's huge.
And have the same variety. And not only that, there are certain shots that when I was focusing manually, I wouldn't even attempt because I know the difficulty of that shot.
So
for example, try being at 2.8 even. Have a guy run to your camera and you rack focus on them. Maintain focus on them while they're running toward your camera.
I know exactly what that's like.
You know what I mean?
First AC and so being focused.
I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's impossible, but you're going to do 2, 3, 4 takes, 5 takes until you feel or you think we got it, right?
Yeah.
How about getting it in one take and you know you got it?
And being a one-man band, though, because if you had someone dedicated to it, it's a different story. But yeah, one-man band, it's like you can't rely on that.
Exactly. So that's what I'm talking. So I didn't mention that part. Like, we're talking about an experience focus puller.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to cost you a lot of money.
A lot. Yeah.
Try doing that on the first take every time at f1.4. I did that. You know what I mean? Like with these cameras
with the autofocus feature.
With the autofocus features, you could easily do that with your Prime. Mm-hmm. Prime, you could go to 1.4 if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the option to set that transition speed to nice and fast so that it could track that person.
That's incredible.
You know what I mean? Or if you want to do a nice rack focus, slow down that speed, track. There's nothing wrong with that. At the end of the day, your client's not going to ask you, did you do that manually or did you do that with autofocus? Because if then I'm not going to pay you as much.
Yeah, no.
So that's sort of where that comes down to.
But it pays off in variety and other things that you get to get done.
Dude, it pays off.
Get ahead of schedule.
Oh my gosh.
Allow new things to be introduced into the shot list.
It's gotten to the point where now I can track people. I used to, because of that, here's another point. It's because of that before, when I was focusing manually, I required a big monitor.
Mm.
I needed to see that focus. But now I don't really need it just because I know it's in focus, right? I can see when I have it on the subject's face, I can see that little square on their eye. And so that's sort of what I mean by, like, that's why, you know, at the moment, right now, as we're recording this, I live and die by these cameras. Like, this is the camera this is the choice for me. Now, for bigger, more cinematic production work, like, it's very relative. It's very, you know, subjective. People have their styles and stuff like that. For the variety of colors, and this gives you great colors now. Sony has changed their colors. It's really, really good now. Very, very comparable. And people prefer still Canon. People still prefer Blackmagic. That's great. At what expense? Like, are you okay with not being able to have that sort of reliability? Is being able to shoot raw a big factor for you? So it really goes down to, like, the type of work that you're doing as well.
Yeah,
that's just how I shoot. I'm very run and gun.
You're ruffling a lot of feathers right now.
Am I?
All these people that die hard to their brands.
No, dude, look.
First off, there is no perfect camera.
There is no perfect camera.
It's, for me, it's about what's my clientele? What are my projects? What do they require? And then that's what I base it off of. You said something earlier off of camera that I thought was great. If it came time to having to decide whether you should move to something, go out and rent it. You had mentioned.
Sure.
Rent it. Try it out. See if it works for you. I think that's a great method on the process of moving to something brand new.
Yeah. No, 100%. Like, you want to know what you're getting yourself into. I mentioned earlier that I bought the A7S III on the day that it was announced. I pre-ordered it. But that comes out of, like, I knew Sony's history. I know what they're about to offer. I know that they wouldn't say something and really not be the case, right? Like some other camera manufacturers do, and they overheat like in 2 minutes. Like,
we're not naming any names.
Not naming any names.
It's like right there.
But you see what I mean? Like, but you see what I mean? Like, it's reliable. And you know what? If it wasn't, hey, I just returned it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
but yeah, that was, like, sort of the factor for me. I knew that we needed to go in that direction. And, you know, when I decided to sell off all my gear, right, I decided, you know, this was my first full frame camera, but this whole time I've been shooting Super 35 and below, APS-C, Micro Four Thirds. So I've had different lenses, essentially. So if I was going to fully embrace full frame with autofocus and all those features, I had to make that jump. Yeah. So it was a big decision where sell everything, my lenses, my cameras, and upgrade everything full frame, have the proper lenses for it, and, like, really embrace it, really go for it.
Go all in.
But it was an educated decision based on what I needed and what these cameras were able to offer me. So that's sort of the deal there. And then the low light, amazing low light, incredible, you know, to be able to have that. So it opened up more doors for me, put it that way, to work more efficiently, have more options, not miss the shot, you know? how many times do you miss a shot, like where you're shooting verite and there is no reshoot for that? Like, can you redo that? Like, no, yeah, there's no. You've already missed the moment, you know? We're talking about weddings here, but there's other places where that will apply. It's just the efficiency and how easy it is to do it. Again, saving time, thus being able to provide more work, thus making more profits. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of where it really comes down to the upgrading of the gear. If it's not fixed, but it's improvable. Mm-hmm. You know, you could always improve. And I think that we can continue to move forward trying to improve our craft, get better at our quality, but also improve our gear as well. This comes down to computers too. Computers.
Yeah. Everything hardware, everything software.
Rendering time means that's time that you can't really use your computer for other things. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, obviously, it all depends on your budget, too.
So, right now, are you using the new M1 chip? Because that's kind of falls into what we're talking about, but it's, yeah. I don't know that it's been fully figured out yet.
Yeah, I just bought another iMac.
Okay.
Another iMac, a 2020. I have a 2019. I gave that to Chris, and I got the 2020. Fully loaded, again, it has like 10-core processor. It has 124 gigs of RAM.
It edits for you. It's so
it
fast.
Edits for me, man. It's a beast. 16 breakfast gigs of bed. Graphics card.
So, but you had the M1, didn't you?
Well, we still do. We have Mini
got
M1.
Got it.
And it was okay, but it started slowing down.
Really?
Like it got to a point where even on my 2019 iMac, it was like it doesn't compare.
Wow.
At all.
Interesting.
It's powerful for what it is, but there is no comparison. Yeah. Granted, it is the 8 gigabyte of RAM, but we've done it where it's only Premiere Pro that it's using, and maybe it wasn't even optimized. But the thing is, we got it and it slowed down at the more we used it, because the renders for example, these episodes for the podcast with Chris was editing in that Mac Mini, that was his computer. But what used to be like 35, 40 minutes to export now turned into 2 hours.
Whoa.
For the same length of episode. He's not changing anything. Mm-mm. That was very suspect there.
Yeah.
It's time we could not afford for him to be sitting there doing for 2 hours,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So
well, that's, he likes solitaire though.
He likes solitaire. He likes Instagram. Yeah. But yeah, so I had to make that decision where, look, my computer works phenomenal. It took 15 minutes in my computer, nice. The 2019. Nice. So I gave him that computer and then I got a 2021. And now we're both editing off iMacs. And that works, man. That computer is going to last us for years. Mm-hmm. I don't care what the M1 brings. Like, that's great, you know, but I was just in a situation where I needed something now. I can't wait for Apple to announce it when they decide to announce it. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. I mean, again, that doesn't mean that, let's say tomorrow Apple announces something that really blows this out of the water for half the price. Mm-hmm. Now I got to make a decision, just like my cameras. Do I sell this off and get that? I'm willing to do it. Mm-hmm. If it shows that I can improve my efficiency, my output significantly faster, how much is it going to cut it down by? And what does that mean for me? Does that mean that we can go out there and do more work? That might be a better business decision.
I just can't imagine an entrepreneur that has a mindset of just kind of getting stuck with something that works and make it work.
But see, forever. The problem is that freelancers don't see themselves as entrepreneurs.
Ouch.
They don't.
You just hit the nail on the head.
It really is. Freelancers see themselves as, you're going to give me this much money and I'm going to do this work for you. And that's stagnant. That is like freelancer 101. That's where you start, but that's not where you're supposed to stay, right? Mm-hmm. As you grow, as you get bigger, we talked a lot about this in our last episode. You want to be able to scale. Mm-hmm. So you have to find ways to free yourself up. A lot of that has to do with how you shoot and how you edit. So the stuff that you use has to be able to get out of your way when you need it to. When the job is done, get out of the way. But this job, like if I could do the same exact job, and this is where anything, all these people that sell stuff on Amazon, all these people, like these third-party companies that sell the same product all
affiliates,
the time. Yeah, they find ways to make the same exact product, but they want to make it faster and better. So the same thing like McDonald's, Burger King, take any big conglomerates. Like, they make easy products. They try to find ways to make it more efficient. Mm-hmm. They want to make it faster. They, you know, that's sort of like where we're at. So as a business person, you have to put your business mentality to work. You have to change your mindset from what it's not broken, so let's continue to do this and do this and do this. How many clients have you ran into that are very old school in their operation?
Okay, so I have one.
Okay,
it's an entertainment company, and they still do everything off of Microsoft Word.
Okay.
Run everything.
Microsoft Word?
Yeah, it doesn't even make sense. So even like little things like proposals and everything, it's all off Microsoft Word, and that's it. And they're stuck. There's all these softwares that can help them be so much faster, but the person who's in charge of that area refuses to get with the times. And they do everything off of Microsoft Word. They can't find anything. They don't know how to do anything in the back end of it. So that reminds me of that type of person. They just cheat. This person does not want to move forward at all.
Yeah. And one thing that also happens is that when a company gets really big and grows and grows and grows, the longer you stay stagnant in where you are, meaning in the equipment that you use and the software that you use, the harder it is to switch later. So now I have one of my clients, they just switched everything from Google to Microsoft Office. And they had to transfer everything over. They made that jump. And that was like grueling for them. Like grueling.
Wow.
That's tough. Like you have like what, 25 employees, and you've had that for like 7-8 years. That's 7-8 years
of data
that they had to transfer, and it was tough. Office was available back then. They started on Google, G Suite, put it that way. And I guess Office 360 was sort of, they got accustomed to it. But actually, the funny thing is that a lot of their employees are hating it. They hate that Office 360. I just switched from Office 360 to Google Workspace.
It went the other way.
It went the other way. Totally missed that.
It works for you, I guess.
Yeah, so I went from Office 360 to Google Workspace because it's what works for me better, I think. It's more user-friendly. That's really what I wanted. It's more user-friendly. In Office 360, I was constantly spending a lot of time troubleshooting things. It should be easy to use.
Yeah, time is money.
So that's why everything has always worked with Google. I just decided, you know, I need something, so let's go to Google Workspace, and it's been great. It was an easy transition for me. I also don't have a long history in Office 360. It was an easy transition and easy decision in the sense that it's going to save me time. I don't want to be it's got to get out of my way, like efficient. Just do what I need you to do and don't make me have to look for those answers. If I have to go Google solutions to the problems that I'm having for your software, that means that it's not very user-friendly. You know, if you're having issues like that and it's not a very easy fix there. So that's sort of my whole thing. And again, that's the reason also why I stick to Apple products, right? And it's not a preference because I personally think I gave PC a legitimate chance. I went out, I bought a $1,500 PC, and I made a whole episode about this, switching from Mac to PC. I never announced it when I switched back though. People just sort of figured that out when they saw my post. Like, hey, now you're back to Apple. I gave it a legitimate chance. I was there for 3 months. But that was 3 months of troubleshooting. 3 months of troubleshooting. Wow. I should not have that many issues and not have an easy way of fixing anything. Anytime Apple has an issue, again, my experience, it's always been an easy fix. It's always been pretty straightforward. And there's a... That's the very few times that it has an issue. It just works, you know? And then there's just the side features also, the AirDrop, right? I finish a video, I want it on my phone, I can easily AirDrop it. Retains the quality.
The ecosystem.
That whole Apple ecosystem is what makes everything so efficient. I can copy on my computer and paste it on my iPad and vice versa and on my phone. The app, my watch, like everything is a great ecosystem. So I love that whole, it makes it efficient for me. I can set up meetings and all that stuff with Siri and all that. It's amazing. And that's where efficiency for me is really working. I don't think that PC has something like that. They just have really good, you know, editing machines, but that's pretty much it. That's sort of what it comes down to for me. It's just the efficiency, the workflow. So I'm willing to pay more money. And I acknowledge I have to pay more money to get the system that I need to do the work that I need, whereas it would have cost me half the price.
Yeah, but it pays off at the end of the day.
It pays off. It pays off for sure for me. I mean, that's sort of my whole thing is efficiency. That's like, I need to put that on the wall somewhere. Efficient. you know, be efficient. Chris knows that.
Yeah.
Be efficient.
Get off solitaire.
Get off. Just mess with me. So I think this is a great episode.
I think it's great. Yeah, we got to be willing to be fluid, you know, with what we do and our commitments to even certain brands.
Yeah, I definitely don't have brand allegiance. People think that I have brand allegiance to Sony. I don't. I really don't. If Canon comes out with a better product, I'm going Canon.
Yeah.
If Blackmagic comes out with a better product, I'm going with Blackmagic. It's it's what gives me what I need to get the job that I need to get done at the most efficient way possible.
I had a DP I worked with that had full in Canon for years, 30 years of photography. And sure. Went into video, discovered.
Yeah.
I already said Canon, so I discovered Sony. And he was convinced that that was the right move for him. He went and sold, I don't even know how many. Yeah. I mean, the room could be filled up with the amount of lenses this guy had.
Holy cow.
And I'm exaggerating a little bit, but he sold everything off. All of his fellow photographers at that time in the studio, he worked at a lot, where they were all like making fun of him and everything. And he ended up showing some stuff to them. They couldn't believe it.
Yeah,
they were shocked. And I spoke to one of them today, who is no longer at that studio, is now on his own.
Yeah.
I was like, let me see what you're shooting with. Sure enough.
The same Canon camera?
He switched.
Oh!
After making fun of this guy.
That's so good.
And it was cool. And I'm not just saying the Sony's a perfect camera, but you know what I mean? But it worked for them. And it was cool to see that they were willing to. He sold all his glass as well. And I've also heard stories go the other way around. So that commitment to being able to grow for what works for you, your clientele, what pays.
It's what's important to you, man. Yeah. Yeah. It really is. And what that value is different for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
That whole brand allegiance thing, that doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. When it comes to business, it's whatever makes you the bucks.
Yeah, at the end of the day. You're running a business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's tagline for the show. Whatever makes you the bucks. Well, this was a great episode. I think that we got pretty good information there. Thank you guys for watching this episode. Remember, you can find all the links to our contacts, our Instagram, our Facebook down in the show notes below. Mr. Big Mike.
You're the big guy here. Got him.
Until next time, we'll see you guys on the next episode of the iFilmmaker Podcast.